1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Okay, interesting. We hear a lot, even in Christian circles, about Christian liberty. Matter of fact, if you go to a church and you hear more about Christian liberty than you do about your Christian responsibilities, I'd get out of that church. Because I just nailed it and highlighted the difference between humanistic thinking and biblical thinking. Rights or responsibilities. Now, mark that place in your Bible. Just going to go over a couple chapters to chapter number 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And if you will, then look at verse number 23. And again, it's interesting that both these verses are found in a letter written to a church that had all kinds of problems with carnality. And so part of the result of wrong thinking is pretty soon you begin to lean towards carnality, fleshly desires, fleshly thinking. Verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Now, in both of these verses, we're going to see a combined three different things that we're warned about concerning this matter of viewing life through the prism of our rights instead of our responsibilities. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. And Lord, I pray that you would use the message today to help us to, Lord, emphasize the importance of responsibility. And Lord, help us to get back to viewing life through that prism. Jesus, thank you for not coming down to earth and exercising your rights. Thank you for coming down to earth and fulfilling your responsibilities, what you set out to do. So Lord, may we get a Christ mindset in this area of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I wrote a book entitled Teenager's Guide to Healthy Relationships. And the introduction is worth me taking a minute to read because it's an introduction that I've entitled The Secret to Successful Relationships. But it deals with the main premise of what we're going to cover today. And my introduction is just a page long. A drastic shift occurred in America's dialogue halfway through the last century. For much of the first 200 years of our nation's history, the buzz phrase touted by politicians and principals and parents was civic responsibility. And as a result, generations of American citizens grew up understanding that each had a moral obligation to identify and fulfill their personal and public responsibilities by stepping up and paying forward all that others had invested in them. Then suddenly the buzz phrase changed. And by the way, take a look at the 1950s and 60s and watch how drastically our nation shifted. That's the time frame I'm talking about. All of a sudden, no one was talking about civic responsibilities. Instead, everyone was talking about civil rights. As a result, our nation changed. People stopped considering what they owed, and instead became focused on what they perceived they were owed. Rights replaced responsibility, and a nation of victors, we taught this last week, became a nation of victims. As a result, not only did our country change, but our personal relationships begin to change. You see, what made us successful as a nation is the same thing that made us successful as spouses, parents, employees, brothers and sisters, friends and citizens. When we traded in our responsibilities for our rights, we poisoned every human and divine relationship available to us. Man, I can't overstate that. I feel like I need to put that on neon and have it flash behind me for about a year. Folks, you cannot begin to view life based on what you think everybody owes you. Or I promise you, every relationship in your life will be poisoned. Instead, you have to face and begin to accept responsibility. What is the secret ingredient to successful relationship? One word, responsibility. in the chapters ahead, we'll identify the wonderful relationships available to us, then consider from God's word the responsibilities attached to each relationship. By doing so, I hope to change your thinking. If that occurs, it will also change your life, and maybe, just maybe, we can get our nation back. And I wrote that as an introduction because in order, if I can get someone to get me a bottle of water, that would be great. Thank you so much. It can absolutely change your personal life. And you know what? All we can do is change yourself. You know, I'd love to be able to have a magic wand and be able to wave it and change the United States of America and take it back to where it once was. But the honest truth is, the way you change America is start by changing yourself. And then using what influence you have to try to take the Word of God and its principles and reintroduce them to a nation that has forgotten the Word of God. And so the more we get back to biblical thinking, the better our mental health. Thank you so much, Brother Chad. The better our mental health is going to be, and the more we're going to properly view life. And I promise you, as a result of this, even your personal joy and personal happiness will be, I think, rediscovered. So, all right, very good. John F. Kennedy. Whoever thought that President John F. Kennedy would be viewed as a conservative, and yet, compared to what we're looking at now, I'm kind of looking at him in a different light. Amen. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Is that what we watched during the BLM riots? Is that what we've watched in the last 2 years? It's a bunch of nonsense what's going on. Everybody owes me, and if they don't give me what I want, I'm going to burn something to the ground till I get it. This is where this wrong thinking will take you, folks. And you may not be burning buildings, but I've watched people burn down marriages. I've watched women destroy a home. Because you know what? I'm either going to get what I want or everybody's going to pay for it. And folks, listen to me. Stop thinking about what everybody owes you. You know, one of the best things my dad did for me growing up was to put this into my brain over and over again. Son, nobody out there owes you anything. Well, how many times he said, nobody owes you anything. Okay? Anything that you want in life, you're going to have to go out and you're going to have to work for it. Nobody owes you anything. That's the way we all used to raise our kids. Now I'm afraid that a whole generation is being raised with the idea of that we're owed something. And you know what? How can we get more of what we think we deserve? And so I thought that was a great quote. As a Christian, our responsibilities are more important than our rights. We've got to get back to the Word of God. Leonard Ravenhill, by the way, read everything that Ravenhill wrote. Okay, Leonard Ravenhill. You ought to, every book you can get by Leonard Ravenhill, you ought to read it. Today's church wants to be raptured from responsibility. That's what he said. Daniel Webster said this, the most important thought that ever occupied my mind is that of my individual responsibility to God. Think about that. Bro, that's the folks that founded our nation. They didn't found our nation based on perceived rights. He said, the most important thought that ever occupied my mind is that of my individual responsibility to God. Wow. We live in a day where evangelical Christians want to tout their Christian liberty while grossly ignoring their Christian responsibilities. Now, let's apply this and let's see if we can get some help. Let's start with our marriages. In marriage, your responsibilities are more important than your rights. Your responsibilities are more important than your rights. Let me tell you when I know a marriage is in trouble. When the wife has all of her focus on the husband and what he, in her mind, he is not doing for her. And when a husband's got his mind focused on his wife and all he can think about is what she is not doing for him. And I can sit down with that couple and I think to myself, there's nothing more disastrous than two selfish people marrying each other. Because, boy, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be a mess. And, you know, marriage counseling a lot of times just boils down to trying to get them to stop looking at the other person and feeling hurt all the time because of they are not, in their mind, receiving their perceived rights. And instead say, have you ever studied the Word of God? And do you understand, sir, what your responsibilities are as a husband? And you know what? That's all you need to be worried about. If you'll focus on your responsibilities as a husband, and every day you'll get up and say, I'm going to fulfill my responsibilities to my wife. And ma'am, if you'll stop worrying about what he is or isn't doing, listen, you can only change you. You can only change you. And the best chance that you have of changing the other person is not to harp at them concerning your rights, but to fulfill your personal responsibilities. As you fulfill your own responsibilities, it will inspire your spouse to fulfill their responsibilities. And even if it doesn't, you're still doing the right thing. So again, in marriage, your responsibilities are more important than your rights. In adulthood, and what does it mean to be grown up? Okay, when we have a generation of young people kidding, I mean, it's the new catchphrase. It's on the T-shirts. They're actually joking about the fact that they have to adult from time to time. I mean, that's actually become almost a laughing point amongst young people today. Young adults had to do some adulting today. Oh, my goodness sakes. I hope you didn't have to do it very long. You poor thing. I mean, when I first started seeing it, I thought, what are they talking about? And I realized what they were talking about. They don't want to be an adult anymore. They have to be an adult. If they're forced to, they'll do it for a while, but then they want to go right back to immaturity, and immaturity is selfishness. Immaturity is selfishness. You want to learn about immaturity, go back to the nursery and just sit in there and watch for about 5 minutes. There's not a whole lot of Jesus and others and you being acted out back there, all right? What a wonderful way to spill the joy. I think it's more the song, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. I think that's the song that's being sung back there. But hey, you know what? If that's happening in the nursery, we can all kind of smile and say, yeah, well, we got to train that out of them. But when it's still happening in your 20s and 30s and 40s, we're in trouble as a nation, you know. So some young people, their mindset about adulthood, and I've heard young people say it out loud. I can remember a girl that used to attend church here, and she was into her 20s, and she was lecturing her two younger brothers. She got out of the will of God, out there living a foolish life and playing the fool. And she said to her two boys, brothers that were still in church, she said to them, listen, you have to understand, being an adult is getting to do what you want to do. And as soon as you become an adult, you can do what you want to do. And I thought, I've never heard of a more irresponsible and inaccurate definition of what an adult is. Come on, all you adults in here. How many of you got to spend much time this week just doing what you wanted to do? You know? Adulthood isn't doing what you want to do. It's doing what you're supposed to do. It's responsibility. It's not rights. It's about, you know, doing the things that is needful for others. All right? It's taking care of your wife, taking care of your children. Okay? Serving the Lord. It's not that we don't get from time to time do some things that we just enjoy, but folks, listen to me. Those times are few and far between. And when we do that, we enjoy it and it's good. But life is responsibility. Life is responsibility. That's what it is. As a neighbor, your responsibilities are more important than your rights. You know, and home ownership is a wonderful thing. You get to finally, Lord allows you to maybe purchase a piece of property. But everything comes with responsibility, you know. The minute that I bought my place, well, it's my place and I can do with it whatever I want. Well, what if what I do with it starts affecting the neighbors and the value of their property? Okay, think about that. I'm sorry, but there's responsibilities in everything in life. And you know what? Part of the responsibility of being a good neighbor is to make sure that you manage your property in such a way that it doesn't hurt the property value of the people around you, or doesn't, you know, diminish from the neighborhood. Responsibility. Stop asking. Here it is. Stop asking, what am I allowed to do? And start asking, what am I supposed to do? A man who constantly talks about his rights is only concerned with what he believes others owe him. A man who talks about responsibility is primarily concerned with what he believes he owes to others. And you know what, folks, especially as Christians, the Christian life is a sacrificial life. It's a sacrificial life. There's no way to properly live the Christian life without sacrifice being involved on a regular basis. And, you know, how can we say that we're following in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ? How can we even talk about Christianity and being associated with Christ if we don't talk about sacrifice? I mean, folks, he came and gave his life a ransom for many. He gave his life a ransom for many. And that wasn't just when he hung on the cross. That was in the way he conducted himself the whole time he was here. I often say, read the Gospels, all right? Highlight any verses and bring them to me where you see Jesus do something selfish. And again, it doesn't mean that I'm going to stand in judgment of people that take some time for themselves, and I think that's fine. He even said at one point, hey, to his disciples, we need to go aside into a desert place and rest. But, you know, a lot of times people mention that verse, but they don't read the rest of the story. Did he get to do it? And, you know, a lot of times when even we try to get away for a little bit, you never really get away. There's still things. You say, well, you and your wife got to go to Alaska. Yeah, and we got to also be on the phone almost every day with, because, you know what, people's lives don't stop, and things are still going on, and there's still needs. And, yeah, we had a great time away, and I'm not complaining. Matter of fact, I think our church is wonderful about just saying, hey, preacher and his wife's away, let's, you know, not bother them unless we have to, and then you guys do a great job of that. But the honest truth is there's always something going on. You know, we had to kind of look at it a few years ago and say, you know, if we only plan to get away when nobody's in crisis or there's no potential for anybody or there's nobody that could possibly pass away, then we would never get away. You know, you just pick your times and go. And you all do the same thing. But even when you do, it's not like you just forget it. There's always needs. John D. Rockefeller, every right implies a responsibility. I like this. Every right implies a responsibility. Every opportunity, an obligation. Every possession, a duty. Now let's look at the verses, okay, because I want to go back and affirm some things, okay? Say, preacher, but we do have Christian liberty. Yep, Paul said, all things are lawful unto me. All things are lawful unto me. In other words, he said, you know what? Since Jesus Christ paid for my sins on the cross, and my name's now written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and gone, 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 yes, my sins are gone. And God not only erased my record of sin, my past sins, my present sins, but all my future sins, and when he saved me, and when Jesus died on the cross, all of my sins were future sins, and he paid for all of them. And if we're not careful, we can go to seed on that line of thinking. That's why some people push back on us or point an accusatory finger towards Baptist people because we believe in the Bible doctrine, and it is a Bible doctrine of eternal security. And, you know, their argument will be, well, if you're once saved, always saved, then you know what? You could just receive Christ as your Savior and then go do whatever you want. Well, follow the people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I don't think they've bought into that. You know what? We don't do what we do and try to please the Lord, obey the Lord, because we're fearful of losing our salvation. We do it out of a heart of gratitude and thankfulness for what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so I don't believe that for one second. I think people that are right on that doctrine are usually right on most Bible doctrines. But, you know, all things are lawful unto me. But here's the next phrase, but all things are not expedient. And it said the exact same thing over in chapter 10. All things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. Now, what does the word expedient mean? Expedient means to make a contribution, to produce a profit, to create a positive advantage. Now, think about that. To make a contribution, to produce a profit, to create a positive advantage. In other words, all things are lawful unto me, but you know what? He said, I won't exercise that right unless it contributes or profits or creates some positive advantage for my life, my family's life, or for other people. And so, you know what? We have to say, yeah, do I have a right to do that? Well, yeah, you have a right to do that. If you want to exercise that right, you have a right to do it. But you know what? The exercising of all right is not profitable or does not make a positive contribution or does not create a positive advantage, then I'm not going to exercise that right even though I have that right. So that's where we have to be careful. You know, there's a lot of rights that's given to us as Americans, okay? We have the right to assemble. Aren't you glad about that? We have a right to assemble. We have a right to peaceful protest. Okay? And so some people want to exercise that right. And they say, well, I feel like that this is important enough that we need to exercise the right of peacefully protesting. Last several times I've gone up to Alaska, they have on every, was it Monday or Tuesday? I forgot. I think every Monday afternoon. Is that right, Brother Joe, where they go and they pick at the abortion clinic up there outside of, I think Brother Duffett's church does that, in Fairbanks. That's right. Thank you. And you know what? They told me they were going to do it. I was going to be there on a Monday. You know what I did? I went down there and held a sign and marched and peacefully protested, you know. And if you know what? To me, abortion's a big enough deal that I'm ready to get involved in that. And by the way, isn't it amazing what the Lord has done in answer to some of our prayers and the prayers of a lot of people in this matter? To think, folks, that we just had a bill passed that basically is going to shut down every abortion clinic in Indiana is absolutely amazing. So we don't have to protest things that are no longer open. Praise the Lord. How about that? Now, you can say, okay, and by the way, if you said, you know, something meant enough to me to do that, then that's right. Then I would say you have the right to do it. But folks, you might remember just a handful of years ago, after a Sunday morning service, there were four men across the road from our church, men dressed up in dresses, protesting the fact that we preach against homosexuality at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, holding signs protesting us. Okay, now you say, well, if it was lawful for you to peacefully protest, it's lawful for them. Okay, but here's the question. Is it expedient? Is it expedient? What is it going to produce? What does it produce? Hey, when I'm picketing against abortion, if I get the desired result, you know what? Then there won't be unborn babies murdered in America anymore. If they get their desired results, no church will ever preach the part of the Bible that condemns sodomy, condemns homosexuality, and they are advancing something or trying to advance something that is not profitable for our nation, but instead will put our nation in the crosshairs of God's judgment. So you can say, well, okay, you have a right. Well, they have a right. They have a right, yes. They have a right. And we have a right. But before you exercise any right, and I know this maybe is a little bit of an extreme example, but I think it'll help you to understand. You may have a right to do something, but you better say, is it going to contribute in a positive way? Is it going to produce a positive advantage? Is it going to help our nation? Or are you exercising your rights, but you're exercising them in such a way that's destroying your nation? Think about that. And so never exercise a right that does not contribute to this world in a positive way. You know, as a pastor, I could say, well, you know what? I have rights to certain things. I grew up in a pastor's home. I watched my dad set aside his rights. Things that probably he really had a right to. As a pastor, I've watched him over and over and over, him and mom, set those rights aside so that the church could be benefited even when it cost them something. And I watched that and watched that and watched that and watched that. I remember even sometimes going in and saying, Dad, what are you doing? Well, I know that they voted to do this, but if we take this, then it's going to do this. And it's amazing, you know, how focused he was on the betterment or the benefit of the church above him and mom's own personal needs. You know what that's called? Ministry. That's what it's called. It's called ministry, okay? And it just doesn't happen in the pulpit. It happens in the pew. Many of you say, well, you know what? I'm going to buy this for my Sunday school class, and I have a right to, and you do have a right to go in and take a receipt and say, you know, I spent this money for the church, and I got pastor approved it. And yet how many times have people said, you know what, I could do that and get reimbursed for it, but you know what, I want to help our church, and God's blessed us, and we can handle this, and we can do it. And there's not a weekend goes by at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that people don't sacrifice out of their own pockets for the betterment of the church. They forgo their rights and say, no, let's just be a blessing. And folks, this makes for such a healthy Christian life. You know, don't be worried about fighting for your rights. Don't be worried about what you perceive that anybody owes you. Just look for opportunities to serve and to be a blessing. And don't ever exercise a right that's not going to contribute to this world in some positive manner. Okay, now let's look at what else it says in 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Okay, so there's another Bible principle that we need to weigh in there. Okay, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Any of our young people growing up Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Nathaniel, how old are you now? 23. Okay, Nathaniel grew up at the church here and raised in a Christian home. You know what the law affords him? You know what the law allows in his life? Living in the United States of America, the day you turn 21, you could have exercised the right to go down to any tavern, take your driver's license, lay it on the counter, and you would have had the right as an American citizen to buy your first drink and probably wouldn't even had to buy it. You know, the bartender would have probably given it to you. Hey, it's kid's birthday. Made a big deal about it. Okay, now what does the Bible say here? It says, all things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now listen, never exercise a right that has the potential to bring you into bondage. You know, the more that our nation is legalizing certain things that should not be legalized, what they're saying is that it's lawful. It's lawful. You can do it. You have a right to do it. But does that mean you should do it? Think about that. You know, more and more of our states, more and more of the United States of America, the 50 states, I don't know what the number is now, but more and more of them are legalizing marijuana. Okay, all right, well, it's legal now, so what? So what? See, you go in there and you put that license down and you take that first drink. Well, that doesn't mean I'm going to be an alcoholic, yeah, but it doesn't mean you're not going to be. I can tell you how not to become an alcoholic. Never take your first drink. That's 100% guarantee right there that you'll never be an alcoholic. Okay, and why would you drink booze anyway when there's Dr. Pepper? I'll never understand that. Come on, so much better for you. And think about this. So, all right, marijuana is legal, probably legalized at some point. I hope not. In the state of Indiana, we've been one of the states that have pushed back away from it. And you know what, folks, for a lot of years, we were one of the last holdouts on legalizing a lottery. Some of you remember when it became legal in Indiana, we were one of the last holdouts. No, we're not going to have gambling. We're not going to have gambling. We're not going to have gambling. And guess what? And finally, I think it was Evan Bayh that helped us with that and got that through. And all of a sudden, it was legal to gamble. Okay. All right. It's lawful. If you want to, you can go find a casino in Indiana. You can find a casino in most states. You can go to any gas station and buy a lottery ticket. Nothing more frustrating than me than just going into a gas station and trying to buy something and have to stand in line while a bunch of people are wasting my time trying to decide what lottery tickets they want. You know, and then they go over and they sit at the table and they scratch them all off and they scratch them all off and they scratch them all off. Then they throw them in the trash. And then I go over and pick them up the trash. Hey, you forgot something. And this was so important. You made me wait 10 extra minutes. Oh, but they win every once in a while. Folks, those casinos do not build those beautiful buildings because they lose. All right? Somebody needs to get smart, okay? So anyway, it's lawful, though. It's lawful. Now be careful because I know I'm maybe taking some examples that we all would agree on. But there's also going to be times in your Christian life where you're going to say, well, preacher, I have a right to do this, and it's lawful. It's legal for me to do this, and I have a right to do it. Yeah, but wait a minute. does it have any possibility of bringing you under the bondage of that? Okay, you know what? I hate to say this. Pornography, certain kinds of pornography is legal in the United States of America. It's legal. You can buy it, you can own it, you can download it, you can watch it. It's legal. Don't tell me that doesn't have the power to bring you into bondage. And folks, listen to me. I've watched it wreck too many marriages. You stay away from that stuff. Don't even give it an inch in your life. Don't give it anything in your life. But is it lawful? There's a lot of things that are lawful. Are they expedient? No, they don't bring any profit to our country. Do they have the power? Some of these things have the power to bring you into bondage? Yes, they do. So even though something may be legal, you have to ask yourself, is it profitable, and does it have the potential to bring me under bondage? Because he said, I will not be brought under the power of anything. The only power I want to be brought under or have control me is the power of God, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want anything else that could bring me under bondage. And then we go back to chapter 10, verse 23. So if you want to flip there, that last one, we'll cover the last one real quick here. 1 Corinthians 10, 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things, here it is, edify not. Now think about this. All things are lawful, but all things edify not. The word edify means to build up. Thomas Jefferson said, rightful liberty is unobstructed action according to our will within the limits drawn around us by the equal rights of others. Now think about that. Rightful liberty is unobstructed action according to our will within limits drawn around us by the equal rights of others. And so you have to be very careful insisting on a right or a liberty that may benefit you, but not benefit somebody else, not build up. The word edify means to build up. I guess the old adage when it comes to freedom is, you know what? They used to say in my civics class, even back at Shackamack High School, they used to say, you know, you have the right to swing your arms. Yeah, you got the right to swing your arms. You can just stand all day long and swing your arms. But your right to swing your arms ends at the beginning of my nose, okay? So in other words, you got a right to swing your arms, but you don't have a right to swing your arms when you're in the proximity of somebody you could hurt, okay? You know, it's kind of like the old freedom of speech thing. Well, I've got freedom of speech, so I can stand up in a crowded room and start yelling, fire, fire. I've got the right to do it. Well, what if people get trampled? What if people are hurt? And so we start thinking about this idea of how this is being abused in our nation, where people just keep talking about what their rights are. Well, wait a minute. What about the rights of somebody else? Okay, well, we're going to protest because of our rights. What about the rights of that person's store you just looted? What about the rights of that person's property you just torched? What about the rights of that person's car you just broke the windows out of? Excuse me, you don't have a right to exercise your rights when it begins to hurt those people around you. We've got to be careful about that. When it talks about our freedom of speech, well, I got a right to just speak my mind. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You know, I wrote in the Teenage Years of Jesus Christ years and years ago, the 10 Laws of Excellent Speech, and I still say that every Christian probably ought to memorize them and know them and sift and filter what you say. Come on, not just what you say, what you post, what you text. There are boundaries that you ought to understand that God has. This whole idea that there's rights without boundaries. I love what Thomas Jefferson said. Rightful liberty is unobstructed action according to our will. And that's where most people want to stop. Well, yeah. Rightful liberty is unobstructed action according to our will. And that's what you're watching a bunch of fools play out over the last couple of summers. He went on to say, within limits drawn around us by the equal rights of others. And everybody's wanting to yell about the rights of the transgenders. What about the rights of the born-again Christians? Okay, well, he has a right to go into a woman's bathroom. What about the rights of my granddaughter and my wife? And it's like all of our rights mean nothing. So that they have all of their rights, and their rights, the lines are drawn past the limits of somebody else's rights. Sorry, doesn't work. That's why we need to push back on this nonsense, push back on these things, amen? You do not have the right to free speech. You have the responsibility of free speech. I like this. Take every one of the amendments that, you know what, every one of the amendments, every part of our Constitution, and read it. And, you know, even on the, I'm a big Second Amendment guy. I'm a big Second Amendment guy, okay? I believe in the right to bear and keep arms. I also believe in the responsibility to bear and keep arms. Every once in a while, I watch somebody so determined they're going to show their rights that they forget responsibility. Okay, yeah, I know you have a right, but you also have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to the people around you. And, you know, folks want to exercise this right and don't care how it's affecting the people around them, you're being foolish. Okay, so, you know, people in our church, they want to carry, conceal, and carry. All right, carry, conceal, and carry. But I'm not going to open it up to the wild, wild west in here, because you're more worried about showing how you have a right than you are thinking about how you might make making a mom and a mother with little children a little nervous. So use some common sense about it, okay? I can usually tell the ones that are thinking about responsibility, because if they are carrying, you never know they're carrying. The ones that are thinking about rights instead of responsibilities, you know, it's the guy that all has to come to me and first time he used to him, he said, hey, look, he's showing everybody. All right, you ding dong. Maybe you ought to go take that off till you grow up a little bit. Okay, because, you know, obviously you're not mature enough to be carrying what you're carrying. What about responsibilities, okay? All right. Now, I'm a big Second Amendment guy. I'm a big freedom of speech guy. But folks, listen, we don't not only have the freedom of speech, we have the responsibility of speech. You know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Life and death, that's King James Holy Bible. You know, there's been young people that have killed themselves simply because they're being tormented by, come on, the texting and the bullying that's going, the cyber bullying that's going on. I mean, it's happening on a regular basis across our society. Well, I got a right to, well, do you? Because life and death's in the power of the tongue. Are you using it to build up? Are you using that right to speech and those rights to text? And are you using it to build up people? Or are you doing it to hurt people, destroy people, and tear down people? Think about your responsibilities, okay? A woman's rights or a mother's responsibilities. Think about this. Think about that. A woman's rights. This whole argument about abortion boils down to, on their side of the argument, you have no right to tell me what I can or can't do with my body. Okay, so that's their viewpoint. Okay, all I know is when they walk in the abortion clinic, their body's intact. When they walk out, their body's intact, but there's another body that's dead. So think about that. People talk about their rights. When they talk about rights, this matter of rights, they want to make it a medical issue. Folks, listen to me. I don't have a right. I don't have a right to make the decision that's going to destroy somebody else's life. There's a responsibility, a woman's right, women's rights. What about mother's responsibilities? Amen. Okay, think about the rights of that unborn child. Don't they have some rights? And I've talked about the transgender issue, but almost every single thing that you're watching where sin and perversion has gotten way out of bounds and they're walking around beating their chest, screaming about their rights, it really boils down to this. My rights are more important than my responsibilities. And by the way, my rights are more important than your rights. Folks, I'm glad we passed it in Indiana and almost didn't pass it. Well, we passed it and then we passed it. The transgender bill that's preventing biological males from competing against women, young ladies in our high school sports. You know, some guy, well, I've got a right. Don't you have a responsibility? Okay. I'll think about that. I've got a right. My rights, my rights. Some guy that couldn't compete against guys has no chance of ever getting a gold medal. How can you even feel good about yourself? Stand on that podium. I beat these girls, you know. You go. Because it's about you. Because it's about you. Well, think about that. What about the rights of all those girls that worked hard? Spent their entire, you know, they're working hard. They've worked hard. And they've sacrificed and they've tried to advance and they have a chance and they are the best, but all of a sudden they're not the best. Or what about this? Let's make it more real. What about the right after they lose to this freak? How about the right of just going to into the shower and into the locker room without him following you? Now, folks, listen to me. We've got to stop being afraid to say some things. Okay? Because they don't have rights. They can swing their arms, but you know where their freedom to swing their arms ends? At the end of my nose or my wife's nose or my granddaughter's noses. And there's times when we've got to step back up and say, wait a minute. This isn't biblical and this isn't right. And by the way, those things are wicked things anyway. Let's take this truth home and let's put it into our own lives. And let's take a real good look at our own lives and say, you know, am I really so focused on my rights that I've really forgotten my responsibilities? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the way the Bible can help us to think right. Bless the service that'll follow in Jesus' name. Amen.